Isaiah chapter 3. Oh, I'm glad the Lord's with me all along the way. Amen. Somebody said, have you got the second blessing? Have you got the second blessing? Do you have the Holy Ghost? I got the Holy Ghost when I got saved. I ain't looking for no second blessing, no baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We received that the moment we got born again. Amen. You're spinning your wheels if you, amen, going to sit around praying, Lord, baptize me with the Holy Ghost. Baptize me with the Holy Ghost. Listen, you got all the Holy Ghost you're going to get the moment you got saved. Amen. I understand, amen, once you're saved, it's about, amen, letting Him have your life more and more by the day. But I'm His and He is mine. And I thank God the truth of that song tonight. Isaiah chapter number 3. If you's going to shout, you should have shouted in the singing. Amen. I'm going to deal with this subject. It's a heavy subject, very serious subject. And one that doesn't get a lot of amens in this day. It don't make a lot of friends in these days. But it's something that sure does need to be dealt with. Isaiah chapter 3, verse number 1. If you're willing and able, let you stand with us for a moment. And we'll preach just a little while. I'm going to try not to give a whole lot of time to rehearsal of things. There's a few things I do need to say to get us caught back up, but just bear with us. All right? Isaiah chapter number 3 and in verse number 1. For behold, the Lord of hosts, doth take away from Jerusalem and from Judah the stay and the staff, the whole stay of bread and the whole stay of water. The mighty man and the man of war, the judge, the prophet, and the prudent, and the ancient, the captain of 50, and the honorable man, and the counselor, and the cunning artificer, and the eloquent orator. And I will give children to be their princes, and babes shall rule over them. The people shall be oppressed, every one by another, and every one by his neighbor. The child shall behave himself proudly against the ancient, and the base against the honorable. When a man shall take hold of his brother, when a man shall take hold of his brother of the house of his father, saying, thou hast clothing, be thou our ruler, and let this ruin be under thy hand. In that day shall he swear, saying, I will not be an healer, for in my house is neither bread nor clothing. Make me not a ruler of the people. For Jerusalem is ruined, and Judah is fallen, because their tongue and their doings are against the Lord to provoke the eyes of his glory. The show of their countenance doth witness against them, and they declare their sin as Sodom. They hide it not. Woe unto their soul! For they have rewarded evil unto themselves. Say ye to the righteous that it shall be well with him, for they shall eat the fruit of their doings. Woe unto the wicked! It shall be ill with him, for the reward of his hand shall be given him. As for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. O my people, they which lead thee cause thee to err and destroy the way of thy paths. And we could read on, and the Lord gives some other indictments that are made against this nation, the people of God, the children of Israel. But we leave off our reading there. There's plenty for us to get to in this day. All right, you can be seated. Began last week this study of the effeminization of a nation. And really this passage, the passage of this text paints to you and I the portrait of a nation in decline that is headed for the judgment of God. And that's what the Lord says to them. You're in such a shape spiritually and in every way that the judgment of God is coming upon your land. And as this prophet lays out this indictment against Jerusalem and Judah, against Israel as a nation, he declares a nation to be absent of real men being governed and being turned over to being governed by a spirit of immaturity and a spirit of femininity. The nation, as we've read it tonight again in this text, is a nation that God says is absent of genuine, real manliness, manhood and real men that are essential to the survival of a nation. A nation cannot be dominated by a spirit of femininity and expect to remain free from the judgment of God and the consequences that come from such a thing. The Bible word that we would use is the word effeminate, and we would know it in our vernacular today as effeminacy. Effeminacy. Webster's defines effeminate as to make womanish, weak, and tender. That's what happens. That's what happens when a nation is in or headed to the judgment of God. And part of that is a spirit in which a nation is made womanish, weak, and tender. Webster said that the term effeminate and this word, it means to unman. And we think about that in our culture and what is going on in our day, that there is an unmanning of the nation in which you and I live in. There was an unmanning that we looked at last week, and briefly draw your attention to again in this text, that literally men were being pushed aside, pushed down, and removed out of the way, and unmanning. And what results in that is, of course, a catastrophe. It's not only a fitting description, that is the term effeminate, of our text in the nation of Israel in the days of Isaiah, but is a fitting description for the culture of America that we're living in tonight. America is being dominated by a spirit of femininity. We see men, real men, are looked down upon in so many ways and are viewed as a toxic part of culture that needs to be rid from society. Can I tell you tonight, hey man, America does not need any more spirit of effeminacy. It needs a revival of manliness brought back to the nation tonight. America is ever more quickly approaching this dilemma that is contained in Isaiah chapter number 3. If we're not nearing it, we surely have crossed the line. And my friend, have been given wholeheartedly to this spirit. Thank God not all of us men have given in to it. And I hope that we'll understand in this hour, in the end of the message tonight, that you and I, as men of Calvary Baptist Tabernacle, ought to pick up the challenge and not shut up and not be quiet and not go sit in the corner and not relinquish ourselves from our duty as men, but to rise to the occasion and say, amen, in a culture dominated by effeminacy, we will not go along with it. We are the solution, part of the solution to America's trouble. We are not the problem with our nation tonight. And so we gave several worthy considerations by way of introduction last week about things that have give rise to that of effeminacy in our culture. No doubt the shifting of gender norms and expectations have something to do with the spirit of effeminacy and the feminization of America tonight. Things that have always been viewed as men's roles and responsibilities and women's roles and responsibilities, those things have been blended down and shifted around into such a degree that now men no longer know what is manly and masculine anymore. The chemical agents on food and in the environment and in vaccines that we could give consideration to tonight no doubt have some to do with this matter of effeminizing a culture of America tonight. It's no wonder in scientific and medical experiments or studies, we would say tonight, have been done. And those have give you and I witness that there is less testosterone, which is part of what makes a man manly. Estrogen is part of what makes a woman feminine. at those levels are more out of balance in the human body than they've ever been. And I won't go down this rabbit trail again this evening, but you ought to give some consideration to some of those studies tonight. And I don't believe it's by accident. I think the medical field in many ways and the so-called scientists, amen, they're experimenting on a culture and in a generation, amen, trying to blend it all down and dumb it all down because, amen, where there's real men that will pick up that mantle to be men, there are men who stand and beat back the amen, compromise and the perversions and the wickedness that abounds in our day. Amen. And so if they can't change your mind, they'll just change your chemistry. Amen. 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 Vile, wicked men like Anthony Fauci and all his cohorts. Amen. Amen. And if you're a liberal and a Democrat, you can send all your hate mail right in the email of the church. We'll be glad to read it and send it back to you. Amen. But I know what I'm talking about, the changing family structure, absent of parents, and the dumbing down of the nuclear family and the attacks that are against it, no doubt have much to do with this. The evolving media representations of masculinity, it's been replaced from men like, and I'm not promoting him and everything that he stood for, but men like John Wayne used to be the picture of manliness, and a man's role in society has been dumbed down, amen, for the sodomites and the soft-spoken, limp-wristed, noodle-back little weaklings of our day that are held as the picture of what manliness is. Amen. I'll take John Wayne over this crowd of effeminates in our day. Amen. Every day of the week, somebody say amen. Amen. The pushing of the gender identity movement and this idea that, amen, gender is fluid and there's really no such thing as a man or as a woman, that it's all just fluid and blended down and is on a spectrum. We understand tonight God made male and female. He made man and he made woman. And he made them to be, amen, we're both the same in regard to value and humanity. Amen, but we are different on, amen, when it comes to genders and our makeup. Amen, down to how our brains work, to how our bodies are made. Amen, and all the way down to our bone structure. Men and women are absolutely different. Amen, all the way down to DNA, and there ain't nothing this world can do about that. But the propagation of the falsehood and the perversion, amen, of gender identity movement and all that it pushes down the throats of our young people, they have successfully confused a generation. And my friend, is give way to the problems of the effeminacy movement of our day. And all of these things and many others, I'm sure, could be considered. But we're looking at it from a biblical perspective tonight. However you view this thing, understand that effeminacy is absolutely rooted in rebellion against the male-female roles and responsibilities that have been given to us by our Creator. And my friend, when men start getting soft and sissified, it's nothing more than a culture rebelling against the God that made us. Amen, saying that we know better than he does. Amen, I feel a little fire gets in my bosom when I start dealing with these kind of issues. Amen, but we need some fire in our bosom about this. I don't know about you, it makes me mad and it makes me sick to see what is going on in our day in this propagation, amen, of a spirit that is sent out from the gates of hell itself to effeminize, amen, a nation of men and dumb them down into something God did not intend them to be. And we understand this tonight that culturally speaking, there has always been things that, that were viewed as more masculine and other things viewed as more feminine. I understand tonight every man is not made up, amen, with the same personality and the same qualities and the same things. I understand tonight that it's not enjoying fishing and hunting and football that makes a man a man. You may not enjoy any of those things, and you can still be a manly man. Amen. And we think about Jacob and Esau. They were twin brothers who could not be more opposite. Amen. Esau was a daddy's boy, and Jacob was a mama's boy. And Esau, he was a hairy man, had hair everywhere, the Bible said, and was a man of the field. He was a man that was a hunter, and he was a man that maybe even in cultural terms we would say was a manly man. Jacob, his twin brother, on the other hand, was more of a mama's boy. But you study Jacob's life, he was a working man, and he had some character flaws, but he wasn't afraid to work and get out in the field. He knew things about farming and men's work, and he gave himself to, and yet there was different likes and interests in those two men. But both were men, and both, amen, exhibited a manly spirit about them. Amen. Amen. Just because you can lift the, amen, you can lift the gym, not just the weights in the gym. I don't care if you can lift the gym. Amen. Muscular strength is not what makes a man a man. Amen. The right kind of hobbies and being able to be vulgar does not, amen, is not the determining factor of what makes a man a man. In fact, amen, a vulgar man may in fact be vulgar as an expression of his effeminate spirit. Amen. And I can prove that to you. We'll see it in the text tonight. But we're seeing an effeminization of our culture in this day and this hour. Effeminacy is a soft and self-indulgent characteristic that is found in a man, in a male, may I say. Amen. Somebody who's supposed to be a man, who is effeminate, he possesses characteristics that are soft and self-indulgent. And these characteristics are opposite of and opposing to the strong and courageous characteristics of manliness. Are we not seeing that in our day? Amen. I'm telling you, real men who are courageous and strong and opinionated and desiring to be leaders, they are viewed by the effeminate man, amen, as being in opposition. And by the way, amen, they are opposite of us and opposing to us real men. And may I say, I as a real man am in opposition to the effeminate man. Amen. There ain't nothing about me that wants to be unisex. Amen. The urban man, they call him in our day, with his skinny jeans and his tight breeches and his medium shirts and running around with a little lisp on the end of his tongue and everything that he says, wearing his mama's jewelry. Amen. There's nothing about that, amen, that I have in common with that sort of a feminine kind of man. Amen. And so they are opposite of me and opposing to me. May I say, amen, I wear that as a badge of honor because I'm in opposition to that kind of crowd in this day. Amen. Amen. That's right. Boy, I'm getting worked up. Somebody hold me back. Amen. Amen. Hold me back, Mr. T. I'm about to let her out. Amen. It's not only effeminacy, that is, not only shows itself in femininity in men, but this spirit, it can prevail even in a woman, in that she will begin to reveal through this effeminacy by way of distortion of her biblical womanhood. And we'll not get into a lot of that. If I hurry, we'll see part of that in the text here in the end of the message tonight. And so we said on last week that effeminacy is condemned in scriptural context. The Bible is absolutely condemning of anything that is effeminate in men. In fact, the Bible is so strong that it says that an effeminate man can't even claim to be a saved man, because effeminate men are not going to inherit the kingdom of God. Amen. And our church is not necessarily ours tonight. Amen. We want to keep it this way, but there are churches that I go in, and there are churches that we have known in days gone by, amen, that they are plagued with effeminate men in there, amen, in their churches. And you watch, amen, they're some of their young boys, they prance their way up into the choir. Amen. Prancing's an effeminate thing. Amen. Walking with a sachet in a man, that there's nothing manly about that. Can I get a witness? That stuff is condemned in scriptural context. Amen. Amen. 1 Corinthians 6 and in verse 9, amen, mentions that these that are effeminate are not going to inherit the kingdom of God. Amen. And it lists with effeminacy those that are adulterers, those that are idolaters, those that are drunkards, those that live lascivious lives, those that are abusers of themselves with mankind. That's the homosexual and the sodomite. And those that, my friend, are thieves. And he lists this list of great sins. And even the world would say tonight, at the very least, show flaws in a man or woman's character. And that being effeminate is mentioned right in the midst of those things. It is condemned in scriptural context. Effeminacy is conditioned by social constructs. It's not natural for a man to become effeminate. That is something that has to be conditioned in a man. And America, the culture that we're in tonight, in so many ways has, amen, conditioned that, amen, to the downfall of our nation. Amen, promoting ideas against toxic masculinity. What a vile, vile term that is. Amen. Now, if you want to say, amen, men abusing their wives and their children and acting a fool, amen, that's toxic masculinity, I've always preached against that. A man who claims to be a man that beats a woman, that is not a man at all. Amen. Amen. And I don't care if he's in the pulpit or sitting in a pew or on a bar stool somewhere in our county. Any man who would beat a woman and beat his children is a man. Amen. Is a man of the male gender. Amen. Who is not a man at all. Amen. But this term has been used to condition our social construct, amen, to beat men back into a spirit of effeminization. Amen. It's controlled. Effeminacy is controlled through satanic confusion. Mark it down. This is not, amen, the plan of God. The effeminization of a nation is nothing more than the work of the gates of hell. Amen. And we looked at the goddess Sibyl, known as the Great Mother, by her eunuchs, who are her disciples. Amen. Has been around a long, long time. I'll not even go back into that. But even we see the control of satanic confusion in this regard, even in the church through the new perversions of the Bible. Amen. The ESV is one of the most sought after and used text of translation in churches across America tonight. And when you read what those translators did to 1 Corinthians 6:9, It is absolutely a weakening and a watering down of Bible truth and God's warning against effeminacy. Amen. By linking nor effeminate to nor abusers of themselves of mankind, speaking the sodomite, and lumping all that together into homosexuality. You can be an effeminate man and not be a homosexual. Amen. And God drew a line of distinction there in that verse, and he intended, Brother Lucas, to be there to warn men and to warn cultures about the danger of effeminacy itself. Amen. Keeping somebody out of the kingdom of God. Amen. Maybe, amen, the devil's brought that, amen, that control and confusion in the church. Amen. Because there's so many sissy preachers and effeminate men in the pulpits. Amen. That are not real men, that are leading other men into an effeminate spirit. Amen. And it's dumbing it all down and bringing confusion, amen, to society, even through the doors of the house of God. Amen. I know it's strong, but it's right. Amen. It's right. We looked at the fact that effeminacy will conclude with serious consequences. And that is the warning that is found in our text in Isaiah chapter number 3. And God is sending the warning, amen, that when a nation begins to push aside real men and the characteristics of real men, and it is going to lead to the judgment of God upon a nation. There is something that will fill the void. There is a vacuum that comes into a nation when real men are pushed aside and taken away and dumbed down. When real men, amen, do not live up to their God-given responsibilities, it won't be long. That vacuum is going to fill it in with something else that will destroy the soul of a nation. And we're watching the soul of America get eat out of tonight. Amen. Through this very spirit of effeminization that is going on in our day. In verses 1 through 4 of Isaiah 3, we see why effeminacy prevails in a nation. And really the prevailing of the effeminate spirit is conditioned by the taking away of real men. Take the men away, and effeminacy will find a foothold. And he lists, Brother Joe, he lists the kind of characteristics of real true men that a nation needs that are stepping aside, that are being pushed aside, that are being dumbed down, that are being absent of their responsibilities in the nation of Israel. And so we looked at men of strength. All of this is listed one by one. If you want to follow along, beginning in verse number 2, separated by commas, I have given them through way of definition to you tonight. They're men of strength. They're men of victory and dominion, men of discernment, men of God, men of tradition, men of leadership, men of honor and conviction, men of wisdom, and men of building, men that are interested in building something, men of effective communication, and even, as he says, eloquent orator, that has to do with men of prayer, men, amen, that have a secret life, amen, with God, that know what it is to seek God and know God and walk with God. Amen. We need that in America tonight. Men that can effectively communicate against the issues of our day. How we need that. How we need that in the pulpit. And we need those of you men that are in the pew tonight to be able to speak into the issues of our day and the places you work and in your family. Be able to call it out clearly for what it is. Amen. Eloquently in these days. I really got a big head about it, I guess. I was commended the other night, Mahala, after Wednesday night. She said, you ought to be a professor now at the school. You teach better than my college professors did. Amen. And I thought, ain't I an eloquent orator? Amen. Not really, but we need that in our day. We need somebody that can speak to the culture what the deal is. Amen. These are the kind of men that we see an absenteeism of by and large in our day. Understanding tonight that there are some of these men around. There are some of us that are striving, maybe even in the weaknesses of our character and personality, that we're striving to be these men that are strong and victorious and discerning, and men who walk with God, men of traditions that don't easily give up the past and the ways of our forefathers, that we desire to be these kind of men. And the reason we strive to be is because this is why effeminacy prevails. Let these kind of men be dumbed down and moved aside and not lived up to our responsibility, and mark it down that effeminization upon a nation and the culture is going to prevail when these kind of men are not around. These are the kind of men that look at the silly women in America and say, "Not on my watch." These are the kind of men that will rise to the occasion and dare to be different and unashamed of being a real man, and will say to the silly, childish spirit of our day, "Not on my watch." You may drag our nation down a sissified path, and it may be over my dead body, but with my last breath, I will show myself to be a man and beat back and stand against, amen, the spirit of effeminization in our day. Amen. Part of why America's got as far down this hole as it is men have quit speaking up anymore. Amen. Amen. I don't agree with him on a lot of things, but like him or lump him, vote for him or don't vote for him, amen, just don't vote for the woman. One of the reasons our country hates Donald Trump is because he's a man unafraid to speak his mind and stand up for tradition. Amen. That's a threat to this day. That's a threat to this society. Amen. And this is not an advertisement for him. Amen. But can I say thank God? Amen. Thank God for some men that are saved. I'm not trying to be a jerk. I'm not trying to be hard to get along with. There are just some things that we're not going to allow to prevail and rise to the occasion and do what it takes and stand how it takes and cry loud as much as it's going to take and say we're not going to let our nation continue down this path. Amen. This is why effeminacy prevails, and when it does, we know that in this text, the disappearance of the manly spirit results in the rise of immaturity, which is the seedbed of effeminacy. Verse 4 said, when you take the men away, amen, what happens is that children now step in on the scene, and it is children and babes that began to rule over the nation. And we talked about this on last week, that when you take the manly spirit out of a man, that man becomes immature. That man, all he wants to do is sit around and play Xbox. He don't want to go get a job. He don't want to fulfill his responsibilities in society. He don't want to make any stands. He wants to play, and he wants to give himself unto all sorts of things that are immature. Amen. This is the seedbed of effeminacy. If you can take the manliness out of a man and make him act like a child, it won't be long till effeminacy prevails in a nation. Amen. Y'all reckon America needs to hear this? Amen. Notice with me verses 5 through 11 how effeminacy presents. Effeminacy tonight, I believe with all of my heart, that when you boil it all down, effeminacy is a spirit and it is a mentality. But make no mistake about it, this spirit and this mentality, it presents itself amen, outwardly in the culture. Amen. It always does, and it always has. The word effeminate, as is used in 1 Corinthians 6, 9, which is the spirit of Isaiah 3, is connected to the word soft. And again, we don't dive in too deep and try to complicate things. Effeminate, amen, means effeminate, and soft means soft. But the word that the translators of our perfect King James Bible used to translate effeminate in 1 Corinthians 6, 9, translated it three times prior to that in regard to Christ's question to those of his day who were connected to the ministry of John the Baptist. And he asked them the question, what went you forth in the wilderness to see? What did you go to see when you went to see John the Baptist? Did you go to see a man who was clothed in soft raiment? The word soft and the word effeminate have a connection one to the other, as though Christ was saying, you were not drawn to an effeminate preacher. You were not drawn to a man who is soft-spoken. He was not drawn to a man who is soft-dressed. He wasn't interested in the styles of the day. Now understand, styles change. Thank God. I said that last week. I'm glad, amen, we grew out of the, amen, the bell-bottom, amen, breeches and the wide ties. Y'all understand pastors used to preach in ties, amen, that were about that wide. Y'all remember them days? Ain't y'all glad them styles have changed? Understand, styles change. But there is nothing manly about a man who is so drawn to the styles of the day. Amen. Amen. And I'm not saying we ought not be well-dressed and well-kept and well-put-together. There ought to be some grooming going on. Somebody say amen. Amen. Just because you don't wear deodorant don't make you a real man. It just makes you a smelly individual that nobody wants to be around. Can I get a witness? Amen. But these men who get so caught up in, I got to have my hair. You say, preach, that's easy for you to say, yours is falling out. I understand that. Amen. But this spirit of softness. Amen. The spirit of softness. And I say tonight, an effeminate man is not willing because he is soft. He's soft-spirited, his mind is soft, his will is soft, that an effeminate man is not willing to endure hardness as a good soldier. Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3, he talked to Timothy about being a man and being a real man, the leader of the church at Ephesus. And he called upon him to find other real faithful men in that congregation that they could knit their hearts one to another with. Amen. That Timothy could pour into them. And then he said to Timothy, amen, that was to be communicated back to those other men, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. But the effeminate man, he don't have it in him. Oh no, he's too soft. He can't endure anything. He can't stand up to anything. He can't find victory over anything. Why? Because, amen, he has traded that strong characteristic of manliness for the soft characteristic of effeminacy. Amen. Notice in the text how this effeminacy presents itself. Amen. Notice with me in verse number 5 the direction of its strife. In verse number 5, notice the Bible said, and the people shall be oppressed, every one by another, and every one by his neighbor. And the child, listen to this, the child, amen, the effeminate, the immature, childish male shall behave himself proudly against the ancient, and the base man, That woke individual, by the way, amen, there ain't no manly man walks around talking and bragging about being woke. You use that kind of language, you're telling on yourself you ain't nothing but a sissy boy. Amen. I figured I'd get more amens there. Base. Everybody wants to be base and woke. Notice what he said, the base against the honorable. You see tonight the direction of the strife of effeminacy. An effeminate man, he really don't stand against a whole lot. He ain't going to show much strength in any direction. Amen. But what you find here in this text is that when real men are dumbed down and taken away and effeminization takes hold upon a nation, then the effeminate men, they will only stand against men who stand for something. They will only stand against the men who stand for something. Amen. You take a real man, you take an ancient and an honorable man that is mentioned in the text. By the way, ain't that amazing that of all the things that an effeminate man has a problem with, he's fine with the sodomites pushing their perversion. And he's fine with the LGBTQ going in elementary classrooms and sitting down and giggling and showing off their perversion and promoting such trash and garbage of the next generation. He ain't got no problem with that. But you let one of the ancient, you let one of the old timers and said, this is the way it's always been and this is the path we ought to return to. And a feminine man, he'll stand up. Amen. And he ain't got much fight in him, but he'll squall and scream and throw a temper tantrum against the ancient. Brother Joe, because he ain't got it in him to stand for what's right. But he'll stand against everybody else that stands for what's right. I've seen it. I've seen it. We've watched it in our culture the last few years. Antifa running around. If you're a real man standing for something, you don't, listen, you don't mind your face being shown. Run around red paint, throwing red paint, flipping cars and burning them over, amen, with a mask on your face. Amen. So what do you think? That them people, they're really standing against something. No. What they're showing you is that effeminate spirit that always stands against ancient and honorable men. Amen. Men who have honor and integrity and character. Yes, the effeminate spirit cannot stand them. Amen. Brother Tim, they'll do everything they can, amen, to try to wipe out an ancient and an honorable man because, watch it, it's the ancient and honorable man who stands in their way. Amen. I'm not giving up our traditions. I know time changes things, but there's some things that ought to be unchangeable. Amen. Amen. And raising our boys in mud holes with Tonka trucks. Amen. In mud holes. Amen, that's just a tradition I'm not giving up. And teaching my little granddaughters, amen, it's okay to be feminine and to be proud of being a woman. Amen. If God ever lets me have any grandboys to teach them, it's okay for you to grow up and be a real man. Is that right? The direction of its strife. They take particular efforts to oppose these ancient and honorable men because, men who are truly attached to traditions that matter and have honor about them, they won't compromise for you. They won't compromise for their family. They won't compromise for votes. They won't compromise for paychecks. In a pulpit. Amen. Why? Because they have something the effeminate man knows nothing about called integrity. Amen. 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 It's prevailing in our day. It's prevailing in our day. You do realize there is a segment of our culture that would cut your pastor's tongue out of my mouth for preaching what I'm preaching tonight. Amen. The fact you would say amen and even sit here and listen to it, not amen, walk out the doors and try to cancel this church, amen, that agitates the effeminate spirit that's dominating out there. Amen. The direction of its strife. Notice the debilitation of its strength, verses 6 through 8. When a man shall take hold of his brother, of his house, of his father, saying, listen to what he says. Listen to this whiner. Amen. Listen to this crybaby. Amen. Thou hast clothing, be thou our ruler, and let this ruin be under thy hand. In that day shall he swear, I will not be an healer, for in my house is neither bread nor clothing. Make me not a ruler of the people. Don't push manliness on me. Don't make me be a man. It's too hard. That's what he's saying. He's saying, let somebody else get involved and fix it. Let somebody else take the lead. I don't want to take responsibility for what has been allowed to take place. And in the midst of when it got hard, in the midst when it was getting hard to put food on the table and clothes on the back and provide for the daily needs of his life, the effeminate man is looking for somebody else to take responsibility. Is that not, I know it ain't everybody, but let's be honest, is that not a problem in America tonight? It's too hard to go out and get a job and work 8 hours a day. Amen. I had a young boy, he said, I worked 42 hours last week. I just laughed at him. 42 hours. He worked 42 hours. Brother Tim wanted a pat on the back. You know why? And they've got the place. They'd rather the government send them a check than they would go out and get an honest job, bust their hump, amen, and be a man. You know what they're saying? Let somebody else take responsibility for my life. That's the spirit of effeminacy. Amen. This nation has, everybody okay? This nation has, it blows my mind. This nation has 20 to 30 year olds who refuse to get a job. I seen a boy today. Are y'all listening to me? I seen a boy today. Coming out of Cosby, I seen a boy today on his little scooter with his pajama pants on riding down the road like he was a somebody. I promise you that dude ain't got a job. I promise you he don't. Men, grown men walking around, riding around on public roads in their pajama pants. Mind-blowing. Mind-blowing. You know what it is? I'm going to tell you what it is, that being in your pajamas all day, you know what it's testifying? They want a soft life. Pajamas is what you put on when you're ready to kind of end the day and sit down and relax and take it easy. And when they're showing up in the Walmart in the middle of the day in their pajamas, what they're telling you is, I'm soft, soft, soft.
Amen.
Amen. There's a debilitation of strength that comes. It sucks the life and the strength out of a man when that spirit of effeminacy gets in him. Amen. He resists doing anything that is hard. Amen. He resists going out making his own way. Amen. My daddy didn't raise me that way. Amen. I don't know. I understand we're just preaching. We're just reaffirming some of our stand in this day for our church. Amen. We're not changing our mind on this. And I don't know where it's going to go. I know last week's message almost been viewed 1,000 times from the live stream. Who knows who will listen to it? It may be for somebody out there. It's for us and for whoever will listen. And I'm telling you, a real man, he'll rise to the occasion. He'll never say this, it's just too hard. And Charlie, there's things I've done that's been hard. I ain't never found something that was too hard. Amen. I may kill myself trying to do it, but there ain't never been nothing I met that I said, it's just too hard. It just can't be done. I understand with age, I'm starting to learn that. Amen. The way I abuse my body as a young man is catching up to me. I understand there's some things you get older, it starts getting harder, Gerald. I understand. I can do everything I used to do. I just don't bounce back like I used to. Amen. But I'm going to tell you, I've seen enough real men, amen, that even in their old age get out and bust wood, build houses, work, amen, 12, 14, 18-hour days. You ask them how they're doing, they don't ever say, well, I'm tired, I'm so tired. You know why? Because real men aren't looking for an excuse not to take accountability for their life. It's good preaching, Pastor. Oh, I need time on this, how effeminacy presents itself through the direction of its strife, through the dilapidation of its strength. But notice with me the declaration of its sin. Here's what God said. Here's what happens. I may have to make a part three out of this. I meant to be done. But here's how effeminacy presents itself. It does so the same way Sodom and the Sodomites do. I didn't say it. God did. Here's what God said. Look at verse 9. The show of their countenance doth witness against them. And they declare their sin as Sodom, they hide it not. You talk about getting in some depths tonight that we probably can't even get to in a mixed company. Amen. And I've been pretty bold here lately. There's some things here, amen, that God said, this thing of effeminacy, it is attaching you to the sin of a city known as Sodom that, by the way, God wiped out with fire and brimstone. The sin of the effeminate man is here linked to that of Sodom. Listen now, and is the shameless life of drunkenness, debauchery, and depravity. Drunkenness plagued Sodom. There are men who brag in our culture that they are real men because they can drink anybody under the table. They can hold their liquor. Let me tell you something. That kind of mentality is associated with this very spirit of effeminacy. Drunkenness is a sin against God. And men and women who get drunk, men and women who even socially drink. And I know there's an entire group of religion and preachers and churches that are now changing the tune and changing the tradition and changing the truth, more importantly, and have turned away from that. And here's why, Brother Mike, because they're effeminate men. They're effeminate men. Amen. There are effeminate men who ain't got a backbone to stand, amen, where the church has always stood. So now they declare their sin as Sodom did. You know, there was no shame of sin in Sodom. We'll drink all we want to drink. Lose our control, lose our mind, lose our inhibitions, reel to and fro. Sodom had no shame about that. We understand that in Sodom there was more than homosexuality. There was just lewdness and immorality that prevailed in that day. Amen. We warn every man in the building tonight. this thing of an effeminate spirit, you better be careful what you let your eyes and your heart and your mind partake in. Amen. There's nothing manly about living in a fantasy world. There's nothing manly about living in a fantasy world. Pornography is the spirit of effeminacy. It's what it is. You have to look at things. If you go to the depths of pornography, you have to look at things that no manly man in his right mind could ever find appealing. You got to be under a spirit that has been unmanned, weakened, womanish. I could preach right here. I'm winding down. We may deal with it in part three. Amen. You say, please, no, part three. It's right, Isaac. It is absolutely right. There are men that have given themselves to that spirit and began to dive into things they had no business diving into. And what happens is they lose all control. If they can't, and y'all listen, this is going to be stout. But if they can't control this, they can't control any other member of their body. Because they've got no strength, they give it away. They've got no victory, they give it away. They can't have dominion over anything because they give it away. They can't have wisdom because they give it away. They can't build anything, they tear their families apart. Divide their families and divide their friendships because they gave it away to a feminine spirit that is dominating their life. Amen. Amen. There's a spirit of Sodom that prevails in so many churches today through that spirit of effeminacy. It is unbelievable. That's strong, ain't it? Amen. Yeah, it is. Well, let's stop there. I'm done. I've got some I need to get to. We'll get to it. I do have an answer to all of this. There is an answer to this. The answer is actually found in the New Testament. Here's what the Apostle Paul said. Brother Mike, is it 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians 16? Says, quit ye like men. 16:9. Quit ye like men. The answer, Lucas, the answer to this that's going on in our nation is for men in the church to be a good revelation of what manliness is. Amen. Quit there, that's an old English word. It don't mean stop. It actually means to reveal and show yourself to be a man. Amen. And Corinth had all the same issues our culture in America has. Amen. You say, how do you know that? Can I prove it to you? I'm done. Let me give you this. One of the things Paul dealt with in the church at Corinth, he said to them, hey, do you not understand a woman's hair is her glory? And then he had to deal with the men. He said, did not nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it's a shame unto him? Why is he dealing with that? I know it's unpopular. Everybody goes getting nervous, but it's in the Bible. It's in the Bible. Why did he have to deal with that? Because there was a problem going on in that church because of the culture, and there were people getting saved out of that culture that had to be instructed that this thing of effeminacy and getting this stuff out of balance, a woman's a woman, a man's a man, even when it comes to the hair on your head. You can like that and lump it, and there's been a lot of 80-year-old women get mad and near spit in my face over standing and preaching on that. It's still in the book. Still in the book, and I ain't trying to be a jerk, but it's still in the book. Well, it's easier to deal with. I don't know nothing about all that. Amen. All I know, that book said, a woman's hair is her glory. And a man having long hair, it is a shame to him. Y'all see, this thing's been going on a long time. We can get into some other things. Paul dealt with in the church of Corinth that things is getting out of line. That's why he had to end saying, what we need is men to rise up, quit yourself like men, be a man. Amen. Not a jerk. Amen. Sometimes if you're strong, they'll accuse you of being a jerk, being mean-spirited. Amen. And I know there's a fine line. Amen. I know there's a fine line. Riley, there's a real fine line that we don't want to cross as men. And sometimes, be honest, what's going on in our culture, we're out of here. But what's going on in our culture, I don't know how a real man can't get flustered and aggravated. Get mad about it. Amen. Again, it's not an advertisement for nothing. Vote for the Trump of your choice coming up here soon. Amen. That's all I'll tell you. But they said in that debate the other night, here's what they said. He was angry. Did y'all hear that? He was angry. I was kind of curious how he is going to deal with that, and I loved it. Did y'all hear what he said just 2 days ago? He said, you better believe I'm angry. I'm angry about what's going on in our nation. I'm angry about what they've done to our country. I like it. People can get all mad. People who get offended over a man speaking his mind, I've never been able to understand that. Full-grown men, this sounds like a political speech, and I do got a political message coming. Amen. It's part of this issue, but these men, he hurt my feelings. Talk about President Trump, he hurt my feelings. He sent a mean tweet out. He sent a mean tweet. He did a mean tweet. And I'm so upset. I've had men sit down man to man, face to face with me and talk to me like a dog. And I ain't ever just fell all to pieces and lost my mind over it. We got a spirit of effeminate men in our day. They can't even handle a mean tweet. What a bunch of pansies. You're welcome, and that ends the message tonight. Lord, we love you. Thank you for the Word of God. Lord, I'm aware tonight that the Word of God, it confronts us on every area of our life. Lord, right down to women manifesting femininity and womanhood, and us as men, as we've dealt with tonight, rising to the occasion, presenting characteristics of manliness, taking responsibility for our own lives, the lives of our family, the condition of our nation. Lord, we sure do need a revival of this tonight. I'm asking you this evening, Lord, let it be and let it prevail. Lord, in the Calvary Baptist Tabernacle, churches across our county, Lord, I pray we'd get a hold of these things. Lord, tonight, I pray that that spirit of effeminacy would never be able to prevail over us. Let us, Lord, with our dying breath, show ourselves to be a man. Lord, do that for us. Lord, we know we need each other. And so knit the hearts of us men together and men across this nation. Help us to rise up. Lord, lead our families, lead our lives, lead the nation. Lord, lead the church in the way that it ought to go. for the honor and the glory of God. We love you tonight, Lord. Help us, Lord, is our prayer. Be at the church this week and all that, Lord, the families of the church will encounter. I pray the blessings and power of God would be upon them. Lord, bless them in their work. Bless them in their comings and their goings and in their labor, the labor of their hand. And Lord, I pray you'd bless them in their risings and, Lord, in their sittings. And Lord, I pray in every way that, Lord, there would be an awareness that their lives are in possession of the blessings of God. Lord, whatever hardships would come our way, give us strength to endure, and wisdom, Lord, to deal with those things that, Lord, set themselves against us. Lord, for all that you do for us, and Lord, all that we hear testified in coming services of what you've done in people's lives and families, Lord, prayers that have been answered, we'll sure give you the glory for it all over again. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. All right, all hearts free this evening. Brother Mike.
I made an error. That's 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13.
Verse 13. I've got it wrote down in the notes. It is verse 13. 1 Corinthians 16, 13. Quit ye like men. Amen. And we will get to that. We'll get to that. I'm real interested, and maybe we'll make this part of part three. It's not in the notes to deal with. But I've been curious about what Jesus said about John the Baptist. What went you in the wilderness to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Really, if you take that statement, here's what Jesus was saying. John the Baptist is a real man. What are some things we could learn about John the Baptist about being a man? And maybe we'll look into some of that. We'll see how the Lord leads. That thing's growing. And I wish you'd pray about some of these things. I know they're tough. They need to be preached to us. But I told you this morning that we was contacted this week about the abortion message, which was strong in its own right. Those things are being transcribed and sent to politicians. I was assured that there is a group of politicians that read these things that come to them. And I am hopeful that maybe it'll turn into something bigger. And so we'll see how that goes. So pray whatever the Lord's doing there, doors he opens, that we'll be wise about it. And courageous about it, and do it to the honor and the glory of God, okay? All right, let's stand together. Thank you for being here. I sure do love you. I'm leaving here in just a moment. I'll be in North Carolina this week. I'll not be here Wednesday. Brother Joe will be filling in for me. I'm actually preaching for Michael Poindexter. And so pray for us. The Lord would use us. And Brother Joe will be here. It's worked out where he could be here to preach for you on Wednesday night. And you won't be disappointed. You come ready to get something from the Lord. But Joe's always well prepared, well studied, and has something good to deliver, okay? I love you. Call us if you need us this week. And if we can help in any way, we've got several we'll be dealing with through video and phone calls. So if you need us, you can reach out to us. I'll be reachable. If I need to come back, I can come back. All right? Sure do love you. Pray you have a good week. Pray for us, okay? All other hearts free? Y'all good? Everybody good? Are you enjoying this study? I know it's tough, but it's right, okay? All right. Sure do love you. God bless you. We'll see you on.